D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. We are live at Bridgestone Arena, where the Predators return home to host the New York Islanders. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5 The Game. And to help us preview the Predators and take a look around the NHL, we go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL insider. And he is brought to you each and every week by Old National Bank. Get old. Hi, Elliot. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Adam?
We're doing well. Glad to catch up. It's been a couple of weeks. So
it sounds
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay, hold on.
Yes.
Elliot. I correct me if I'm wrong here. You are a Curb Your Enthusiasm fan, correct? Okay. Larry David has a strict rule about wishing people Happy New Year after a couple of days. That statute of limitations is gone. Derek's trying to trigger me here right now.
You know what? You know what? I never fault people for trying to be nice, right?
Thank you, Elliot.
So what you're saying is I'm a big old jerk, and that's okay. That's okay.
And Elliot,
I always know that Derek's much nicer than you. And even if he wasn't, I would say he is, because he could beat me up more than you can.
That is probably true as well. So, Elliot, we had Barry Trotz on the show a couple of days ago, as we usually do. And I said to him, around Thanksgiving, you had to be the most popular GM in the NHL, based on where the team was in the standings and all of the players that could be of interest to other teams, but the team has turned things around. They are back in the playoff mix over the past month and a half or so. And I said to him, has the call volume changed? Are you receiving as many calls? Are you taking fewer calls? And he said that he is not deviating from his plan. Does that mesh with what you're hearing about the Predators since the team started winning more consistently?
Yes, it does mesh. I wouldn't call Barry Trotz a liar generally, but I definitely would not call him a liar about this. I have heard that they are still looking to add some youth. It's definitely something they're looking at doing, and we'll see what happens over the next little while. I'll tell you something I heard. I was making some calls today because I'm doing a little bit of writing work for tonight. And the one thing I heard that was really interesting about your team, Adam, is that the dressing room apparently is pretty tight. Like, there's a lot of guys that like playing with each other there. There's a lot of guys who get along extremely well. I heard the group of players, there's some teams in the league where it's not that close. I heard your dressing room is pretty close. And maybe that's one of the reasons that things have gotten better when they could have gone absolutely in the opposite direction. But I don't think it's changed Barry Trotz's goals. And I still think the Predators are listening on a lot of things.
Elliot, your colleague Justin Bourne wrote a story for Sportsnet.ca the other day about how the first team that's quote unquote in it, the first team to decide to sell, will reap the benefits. Mm-hmm. General question for you. How much are NHL GMs paralyzed by indecision right now because of how tight the standings are?
I think there are some, but I don't think all. Like, for example, Adam, a team like Vancouver, they're out there. Already traded Quinn Hughes. They've made available a player that you guys know pretty well in Kiefer Sherwood. Although they did take a run at signing him last week, it's more likely than not that Sherwood's going to get traded. Vancouver is out there. I think there are some other teams that kind of go up and down a little bit. I think there's also some teams that want to see, yes, can we make the playoffs? But I think you guys are pretty consistent in your message. I think Vancouver's definitely out there. And I would also think a team like Calgary is going to be in a position to say, we're willing to do some things as well. So, the East is wild. I was going through my notes the other day. Yesterday, there were 12 points that separated the top and the bottom from the East. Like, if you go back through the Cap era in full seasons, the average difference between the top team and the bottom team in the East on January the 5th, which is the 7th day where I was looked, was 30 points. So I think some of these East teams are feeling it a little bit and trying to say, okay, let's see where this goes. I think in the West, it's much more likely, like where you are, where Vancouver is, where Calgary is, where you guys are willing to say, okay, there's a bit more of a spread here. We've got these monsters at the top, particularly in your division. We're willing to say that we're out there a bit more.
Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet is with us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Elliot, the one player I did ask Barry Trotz about on Tuesday was Jonathan Marchessault, because he's been out of the lineup for nearly a month. The team has been winning without him, and I know that just because he's out of the lineup doesn't mean he's that's the reason why they're winning. But the reason I asked him that was about Marchessault was I asked Trotz if, you know, the success of the team without him, has it made you reanalyze his fit with the team? And he said no, he's going to be a part of the solution. He mentioned that one of the reasons why Marchessault struggles is because he doesn't play with Ryan O'Reilly. And I don't think that opportunity is going to present itself consistently. So what do you think the market is on Marchessault? He's having a tough season offensively. He's hurt, but he does come with the pedigree of the Conn Smythe Trophy, the 40-goal season. What's his market looking like?
What? How soon until he's back?
It's hard to know because there were times on, he was on this road trip, Elliot, and I would second what you said about they've been on the road since December 21st, basically, take away the three-day break for Christmas, and that was probably on the road going home for a lot of those guys. So they've been together a lot, and I do think it's a tight locker room. Marchessault was there and then went home for the last couple of days to sort of take a different approach to coming back. He looked like he was on the verge of coming back for a while and then took a couple of steps back. So I don't think he's in there tonight. So it is a true day-to-day thing, but that is extended way past day-to-day.
Well, the one thing I would wonder about Dan Adam is, like, do they feel that he needs a couple of games to show himself? And sometimes I think this does happen. I always wonder when a guy, like, comes back and shows up and he goes all out or he's put in a place where maybe you don't normally see him and they're trying to shine him up for a particular trade or someone wants to see him. I would guess this, Adam, that the first thing that has to happen is he's got to come back and play and show he's healthy. Like, if he's in a situation right now where he's kind of false started a couple of times or gotten close and gotten pushed back, unless he's absolutely getting traded, then it seems to me that they're not sure, like, a team would want to see him back in action before they traded for him. I would have to hear about his health first. Like, I do think there would be interest in Marchessault. I mean, the other part of all this is, you know, what's Nashville willing to do? He's got 3 years left under contract, right? Are they willing to eat any of that? No. What's the return price? Are they taking a contract back? Like, that kind of thing. I will say this. I'm starting to go through right now, like, okay, who's available? Who's out there? Who are teams talking about? And I'm not hearing a lot of Marchessault's name. Now, number one, I could be missing it. I miss things all the time. And number two, until he comes back from the injury, he might not be out there as much. But I'll admit right now, and I could be missing it, I'm not hearing his name. I just wonder if he has to come back and play a bit before anybody jumps on it.
We'll talk with Elliot Freeman, 32 Thoughts Podcast. Elliot, is this play that the Nashville Predators are on, is it sustainable, one? And then Stamkos, he's on fire right now. Is his play sustainable as well?
Well, I mean, I would say, Derek, like, first of all, I'd say I don't think the Predators were as bad as they were at the beginning of the year. And they're probably not as good as they have been lately. Like, they've been absolutely on fire. Like, this is a weird league right now, Derek. It's sort of like a win three, lose three league. Like, everybody gets winning streaks and everybody goes through terrible streaks. Like, before Dallas won last night, I think they'd lost 7 in a row or something like that. So it's a strange league, but I think the safest way for me to answer it is they're not as bad as I thought they were, as they looked at the beginning of the year. And they're probably not as high as they are now. I think that's fair to say. Stamkos to me is a really fascinating one because, I just think that, he kind of changed his game a little bit for the better. Like, I saw him playing net front. Like, the one thing I heard that it was kind of told to Stamkos, or he kind of talked about internally with the team, is that the way he always did things is not necessarily the way he's going to be successful anymore. So what are you willing to do to make yourself an effective player? And, like, I've seen him, when he scored his big goal last week, it was in the face-off circle that everybody's used to see him scoring from. But I've seen him trying to do some other things, Derek, like trying to play differently, trying to do things a little bit differently. And I don't know if he's going to stay on the same tear that he's on now, but I do see an effort from a player to kind of reinvent himself a little bit. And I think that's important.
Elliot Friedman is with us. And, Elliot, let's take it more historically with Stamkos. They're going to honor him tonight for hitting 600 goals. It's the first home game since he did it. And he's one away from Jari Kurri. You know, you're a historian of the game. A lot of these guys that he's now passing from time to time are guys you've watched for a long, long time. Where does Stamkos maybe sit in your mind now in the big picture historically now that he's crossed the 600 threshold?
Well, I think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't, to me, like, I don't have any issue with that. I'll just say this about him. I have an enormous amount of respect for him, Willie, because he went through some terrible injury problems. Like, you look at, in 2014, he was supposed to be on the Olympic team. He missed the Olympics because of the broken leg. He had the blood clot. Like, you take a look at some of the, like, the first Stanley Cup when he could only play, like, the short shift where he scored, like he had the 30-second shift, and then he got hurt again. That guy has had a lot of challenges. And, you know, when he got drafted number one overall, there were a lot of people who said if you would have told them he would have gotten 600 goals, people would have said absolutely 100%. And I bet you 6 or 7 years into his career, when he started getting all those injuries and they started piling up, like in, I guess it would probably be more like years 6 to 10, people would have said, too bad. You know, he had a great career, but he's never going to do what he could have done. And he got there. And he got there despite, like, you know, when they won the first Stanley Cup, he did some interviews where he talked about how emotional it was, not only because of winning, but because people kind of gave up on him. And even the Lightning, when he was an unrestricted free agent, like, they didn't pay him the max. They said, you know, here's our offer, 8 times 8.5, I think it was. He had Toronto offering him $11 million. He had other teams offering him, like, more than that. And they were like, no, this is our offer. If you want to be here, you got to play this. And he took it. And I think there were a lot of times that even people in Tampa doubted him, his long-term effectiveness. And so the greatest respect I have for him is not his talent, which is considerable, Willie. It's his will. And he kept going despite the fact that there were people who doubted his ability to be elite for a long time. I admire that about him.
Yeah, and I think he's starting to – I think the people here in Nashville are starting to get that now where – for a while, they couldn't see it, and it's really to his credit, as you said, for the adaptation that he's had. And now you're seeing him out in the forefront more. You're getting which is the presence that he's had. It's now out for everybody to see. And I think the fans are getting
really
that now.
He's a really popular player in the league. Like, if you ask players in the league, especially from his sort of vintage, like, who's a really popular guy? You'll get a lot of answers about Stamkos. Like, he's a really liked person. Like, you know, Adam, I see you tweeting out all those heat maps all the time about where Stamkos is shooting from. And I think it's a perfect example. Like, as I mentioned earlier, I saw him earlier in the season. He was net front on the power play. Like, it's you have to reinvent yourself. You have to adapt. And I think there were some big conversations early in the year when he was really struggling and the team wasn't doing very well. Like, what's the future here? And I think one of the things they kind of talked about with him was you have to try different things. And, you know, to his credit, he listened.
I want to ask you about the Jets, Elliot, because the last time the Predators saw the Jets were managing the early part of the Connor Hellebuyck injury, but they looked like they had a cushion. It looked like they were going to be fine. And now here they are slipping way down there. And, of course, this could be musical chairs in the second half, right? There could be a number of teams that yo-yo up and down. But they're really at a low right now. What are they going to do?
Terrible. I think we're still trying to figure that out, to be honest. I know I'm in shock by what I've seen from them. Like, I didn't think they'd be as good as they were last year. I didn't think they'd win the President's Trophy, but I wasn't expecting them to be 32nd in the league in the middle of January. Like, I didn't see that coming. And, you know, a couple of things have happened. Number one, they got slow. They lost Nick Ehlers. Ehlers is a really talented offensive player, and he was one of their fastest forwards. And they lost him, and the guys they got in, you know, Jonathan Toews was away. I didn't know what to expect. You know, for a guy who was away for 2.5 years, he's still having trouble catching up to the pace. Gustav Nyquist, who's a guy that you guys know well, he doesn't have a goal this year, and he's looked slow. Like a whole bunch of their guys, they look really slow out there. It's a big problem. They have one great line, and they have a lot of guys who just can't score. And, you know, last year the backbone is another guy you guys know well, Connor Hellebuyck, and he was the MVP of the league. And when he got hurt this year, they really struggled without him. But the number one thing to me, guys, is that this is a fast league now. You either have to skate quickly or you have to move the puck quickly. And aside from their top line, they just don't do that.
Lastly, let's talk about the team that's in here tonight, Elliot, because it was at the forefront of your podcast earlier this week, the Islanders, much to the chagrin of the Predators, right, who had a lot of ping pong balls and could have moved up. There was a vision. The Predators moved down a couple of spots. The Islanders moved up the full 10 spots and got the first pick. And Matthew Schaefer looks like he has been a grand slam.
Well, I still think your guy Brady Martin will be good. I understand he got hurt at the end of the World Juniors, so hopefully it's not too long. But long term, I think you guys will be happy with Brady. But yes, Schaefer has been spectacular. One of the stories I'm going to tell on the pod for tomorrow, but I don't mind sharing it with you guys now, is that the demand for his jersey was so high in their team store and online that they ran out of the numbers 4 and 8. His number is 48. And so they had to order new numbers in order to fit the demand.
I thought you were going to say they're going to run over to the Mets and get some old Jacob deGrom jerseys or something. With the same color scheme.
I just put like Schaefer over top of it.
Yeah.
I think that's really good. Yeah. No, I heard they ran out of the numbers 4 and 8 so that they could, because there were so many people who wanted Schaefer jerseys. You know, he's just you know, the thing is, he's a really talented kid. And, you know, one of the things about him is that they, you know, right now with all the analytics you keep, one of the analytics is who has the puck the most in the game, right? And number one in the league right now is Quinn Hughes of Minnesota. Which is a perennial thing. Number two in the league is Lane Hutson of the Montreal Canadiens. Good American boy for our Tennessee listeners. And number three in the league is this 18-year-old rookie, Matthew Schaefer.
Wow.
And he didn't make the Olympic team, the Canadian Olympic team, but he's very much like a people's favorite. And if one of the D goes down, he's going to be – there's a chance he goes. Like, he's on their reserve list now. And he's been told he could be a replacement. So, and he's an 18-year-old defenseman. Like, Canada never thought they'd be doing that. But the other thing, too, is he's just a really nice kid. Like, if you're familiar with his story, his mother passed away of cancer not too long ago. And everything, he's just so grateful for everything. He's just a really easy kid to like. And you're like this is going to be a game where there's going to be people in Nashville, and they're going to be at the game tonight. They're going to be watching on TV, listening to Willie wax poetic about everything that's happening. And they're going to be like, okay, I don't know who this kid is. it's going to take you two shifts to realize, oh, that's who that is.
That's
the guy they were talking about. Okay.
Yes, I did.
We did notice that effect in Edmonton the other night, Elliot. If you had no idea who Connor McDavid was, it took you about half a period. He made two or three unbelievable plays in that game.
And I did see a Matthew Schaefer jersey on Broadway today already.
So, I got to tell you a funny story about that. So I know someone, I'm not going to say who it was, and he put down a bet on McDavid to score two or three goals. I can't remember which one it was. And he realized the next day he fell asleep. So he won, but he fell asleep, and he didn't realize till the next morning that he actually put in the bet twice.
Well, so I get done with the money.
Very nice. Elliot, before we let you go, I want to ask you about another team that's on the skids, a team that just lost 9-0 to these Islanders earlier this week, the New Jersey Devils. What's going on there? I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop in New Jersey.
You know, I know the other night it was so bad and everybody expects something to happen. Like, I think the number one thing is, like, I think everybody in New Jersey has kind of been like, okay, this has been a bit of a disappointment, obviously. I'm not always surprised when nothing happens after a game like that, because I think when to be successful in what you do, you cannot make emotional decisions. And maybe there would have been a time where that would have happened. I think what it does is it makes the ground more uncertain under a lot of people there. You know, I just think, honestly, Adam, the more I look back at it, the whole Quinn Hughes thing, I think, just tossed a grenade into that room. I really do. I think that, they had a chance to get him. They didn't get him. The rumors were going around for about a week. I mean, I reported on a Saturday, and I think he got traded on a Friday, and New Jersey was in there. I think a lot of guys were unsettled. I think the other thing, too, is that, you know, they have some guys with no trades who block moves. So some people think they're in. Some people think they're out. And also, they haven't gotten the goaltending. Like, you know, like someone said to me, it was a 9-0 game. But if you look at the actual chances that night, New Jersey outchanced the Islanders almost 2-1, and they just got blown out of the building. They haven't, you know, Markstrom has really struggled this year. So I think that between the goaltending, and I really do believe that the whole roster uncertainty, because at the beginning of the year, they had a ton of injuries, and they were 13-4-1. They were playing really well. But I just think the whole situation, the moment that they knew they were going after Hughes and they didn't get him, I think it really threw their team for a loop. And it's a tough thing to get. It's a tough thing to get the hands back on the steering wheel from that.
Sportsnet NHL insider Elliot Freeman has been our guest on D-Mace, Ving, and the Donnick. He joins us every Thursday during hockey season and is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot, great stuff as always. Great to catch up. We'll catch up next week.
All right, guys. Have a great week. Take care.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the Predators conversation coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donnick, Derek Mason, Adam Ving in 1025 The Game.
No, not at all. I think about the same, really. I think our plan hasn't changed a whole lot. I think everybody I got an opportunity to go to the World Juniors and ran into a number of the general managers. And I think everybody is just, fielding calls, trying to figure out, a lot of teams are trying to figure out if they're going to be sellers or buyers or what's their options that they might be able to make a move or look at selling something. So I think there's a lot of indecision in the league right now. I think we've set our plan and we're going forward with it.
That was Barry Trotz on our program on Tuesday talking about his plan for the Predators with the team winning 13 times in the past 20 games. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you at Bridgestone Arena, where the Predators will take on the Islanders at 7 o'clock. Pre-game with Max Herz starts at the top of the hour. And I was glad, Willie and Derek, to hear Barry Trotz say that, because, Willie, I think you used the right word a few days ago, conflicted. Because I do think
I think measured, right? Or
I think you said conflicted on Predators fans.
Oh, fans. Yes, fans. Yes, I did.
Predators fans are conflicted about the team's recent run.
Right, because I want to say this about the fans.
Yes.
You have to admit, it is fun when you win.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, there have been some really fun moments, some overtime winners, some milestones. It's fun, and it's okay to say, you know, a team trying to reach its potential, there is entertainment with that. I don't like that sometimes people put a barrier up and say, I don't want them to win. Come on, I need them to break down so they get a high. You know, let it play out. Enjoy where it goes. It may naturally come back to where it was a month ago. It might. And if it doesn't and they keep up this pace and they surprise everybody in the league, that's what we love about sports, right? Okay. Surprises. That being said, there's still conflicting stuff going on, right?
Yes. I as a Predators watcher, am conflicted because the Predators are in it. I'm using quotation fingers. They are in it because they are 4 points out of the final playoff spot in the Western Conference after reeling off 13 wins in the past 20 games. But as I referenced with Elliot in the previous segment, his colleague at Sportsnet, Justin Bourne, wrote a story the other day for Sportsnet.ca with the headline, "Why First NHL Teams to Go into Sell Mode Will Win Trade Deadline." And his point was, you look at the standings, a lot of teams that are probably not really in it, they're in it based on the points. The Predators, 4 points out. The Blackhawks are 3 points out of a playoff spot.
The Blackhawks were dead last week.
Right.
So you can go from dead last to, hey, you're only 4 points out or 3 points out, back to last.
Right.
Winnipeg was in a playoff spot for a long time. They're dead last right now.
Right.
They could come out of it.
I agree with Justin Bourne's premise, which is this. And Barry Trotz, based on what he told us on Tuesday, seems to be on board with this as well, or at least open-minded. The Predators are back in the mix. But as I was watching the game on Tuesday against Edmonton, if the Predators make the playoffs, there is a good chance they could play the Edmonton Oilers in the first round of the playoffs. And the game on Tuesday, for me, was another reminder of the talent discrepancy between the Predators and the Oilers. And to me, I'm emphasizing to me, the Predators making it into this first wild card spot, because the Avalanche are going to have the number one seed, right? So if the Oilers were to win the Pacific Division, the Predators would play the Oilers if they had the first wild card spot. So let's just say, for the purpose of this argument, the Predators do get into the first wild card spot, and they play the Oilers. And Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl do Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl things to the Predators and win in five games. And the Predators are picking 18th in the first round of the draft. To me, that's not helpful. So I'm not rooting for the Predators to lose. I want to make that perfectly clear. I am not rooting for the Predators to lose. But I do think the longer they stay in it, the more... The word that is at the tip of my tongue is dangerous. That might be too strong, but the longer they stay in it, I get a little concerned.
I've had this discussion with a lot of people that watch every day that feel like you do, Adam. I am going to take a little different tact, because I would be fine if they did exactly what you said, because I think that would be – because – and Dimas, you tell me how you feel about this. But as a competitor, as a person who played on a lot of teams, as a person who was a dad who watched both of my kids play on a lot of teams, I think you learn to look for, did a team get the most out of what they had? Mm-hmm. And I completely understand the practicality of, hey, it's like we talk about with the Titans all the time. But if you can max out with this team and make the playoffs, that would be one heck of a season. Now, I don't know if they're going to do it. What are their percentage chances right now, Adam? 20%?
If you give me a moment, I can give you the number.
It's gone from 0%, you know, or whatever it was, 2%.
I can tell you this. I can tell you this because I do remember, and I'll give you the number right now. On the morning of November 26th, which was
right.
The morning of the win in Detroit on the day before Thanksgiving that started the stretch.
Right. So before they beat the Red Wings on Thanksgiving Eve.
Yes. They had a 0.7% chance of making the playoffs.
So they've gone from 0.7
to 14.8%.
Okay, 14.8. So it's still a long shot for them to be able to fight through this pack and make it. And so if they do that, I'm going to say congratulations on an unbelievable recovery of a season, even if they get belted in the first round of the playoffs, and they would be a huge underdog. Whoever ends up with those wild card spots, Adam, will be in the same predicament as the Predators. They won't match up any better with those teams. I still don't know. I don't know if the Oilers are that good, really. It's just how much those two guys can elevate them. The rest of their roster is not that great. But on certain nights, those guys carry everybody. That's going to be a really interesting story to watch. But that's how I view sports. And so the first round exits, when you overachieve to get there, I still say I like the ride of 6 months of overcoming hurdles and finding a way. Is that the most likely scenario this year? No, they got to prove it for 40-something more games that they're the team that we've seen in the last 20 games. Like Elliot said it really well. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were as bad as they were the first 20 games, essentially. And I'm not sure they're as good as the team that went 13-7. But it might only take 90 points to get that playoff spot. And so we'll see how it goes.
Derek, go ahead. Then I'll.
No. I mean, the objective of any sporting event when you start competing is to win. How you win may look different. With what team you win with may look different. If you have a team, however it's constructed, if it's capable of winning, win. And if you're winning, enjoy it. I don't come from a place where, you know, just because the team that I'm on may not have a lot of talent, that, you know what, in order to get talent, let's lose. No. I mean, for me, for the team, it's better if we win.
Yeah.
You know, because in winning, a lot of things are built that you don't see, that the fan base just don't see. You know, the fan base just sees the team, man, we need more talent, we need more talent. So the quickest way we can get more talent is to lose so we can get a high draft pick. Well, in winning, some of those players that you may not know, they may be developing. And they're part of this winning culture. Winning begets winning. If everyone is of the same mind frame and everyone is on the same track and we're doing things the way we're supposed to be doing it, and what comes of that is winning, then celebrate it. Elliot said it perfect. That locker room, everybody said that is a great locker room. And why is it important? Because it's a part of why they are in the position that they are in right now.
I don't want to discount anything that you are saying because you know about locker room dynamics. Willie does as well. I have no idea. But, and we can get back to this on the other side as well. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on our thoughts. But to me, I just think being first round cannon fodder, whatever, for a top team in the Western Conference, which is what they've been over the past few years when they've made the playoffs, I just think that gets you stuck in neutral. With some exceptions, the teams that have won the Stanley Cup have had to go through a down cycle. Willie, we've talked about this. The Predators have never truly rebuilt in their franchise history.
Very true.
So my point is, making the first round, look, they have been far more fun to watch over the past 6-7 weeks. So much more fun to watch. I enjoy that. But part of me is like, man, they keep winning at this clip. They're going to get in the first round. They're going to get swept by Colorado, and we're going to be right back where we've been.
You know what? You know what happens, though? You know what happens in that, you know, going to the playoffs and getting swept or whatever in the first round? Something you can't get unless you make it, the experience. The experience you get, those young guys on your team, they get the experience of being what a knowing what a playoff game feels like is such a – that's why I was good. Even though we didn't win the Super Bowl, it was good as a young player to see what that felt like as a young player. So that's what going to the first round of the playoffs and maybe not winning. It gives you something that you can't get if you don't go there.
And let's add the one thing that is a flaw in my argument, Adam, is Barry Trotz, who I think is wired like a coach, and he wants to see a team fulfill its potential. The problem he's got is, let's say on the trade deadline or close to it, let's say they're 1 point out or 1 point up, but it's still five or six teams for one or two slots by then. He's got a major dilemma because he's got to decide who to trade and who not to trade. A couple years ago, they surged so much, he had no choice. It's like, I can't break up this team. They deserve some help. They deserve to take it in that direction. If it's where he thought it was going to be, he probably would have started to sell some. And so he's got guys who will be prime guys who would be great additions to a winning team. Michael Bunting and Eric Hall, he'll get phone calls on all these guys. And so if he rides it out and you fall a point or two short, that's the tough part, right? Because he can get some assets for these guys. He's got attractive pieces.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators, who are back in action tonight against the Islanders at 7 o'clock. Max Herz will have pregame for you at the top of the hour. We will wrap up the show next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Predators pregame starring Max High Maintenance Herz coming up at the top of the hour. You like that?
Yeah, I mean.
He is Max, a little high maintenance.
He is high maintenance. He write letters.
Yes.
Little notes to Adam.
Yes.
You know, he wants his stuff a certain way.
Like we're. You know, school crushes in class. We just pass notes to each other.
As soon as our show is over, he wants Adam out of that seat.
Yes.
It's
so
time
he
to go
can
to
get
work.
Prepared.
It's
exactly.
Maybe I'll leave him a present in the seat before
he
I want,
he wanted me to bring a fan that shoots mist at him so his hair can blow. I said I wasn't going that
That
far,
does not
man.
Work for our show, by the way, because none of us have hair. By the way, Cam Ward spotted on the field pregame at the Fiesta Bowl. Miami and Ole Miss
okay.
coming up
All right. okay.
at 6:30. Thoughts on that matchup?
Man, that's going to be a good one. Can the Canes defense continue to play at that pace and that aggression that they've been playing at for the last two games in the playoffs? And, I mean, Bane is a monster. That guy's just a wrecking machine. Can he wreck the Ole Miss Rebels. Is it still the Rebels?
Yep.
Yeah,
yes.
Still the Rebels. Offensive line. So that's one of the things to watch. And can, you know, Chandler continue to do what he has been doing and be dynamic and continue to score points? But this is going to be and Ole Miss got a good defense too. They don't have a bad defense at all, but it's like, you know, this monstrous of a defense in Miami versus this offense of Ole Miss, this high-powered offense of Ole Miss, who's going to win?
I'm really curious about Chambliss. I think he is slowly, you know, he probably, if he had taken over earlier, he probably could have had a little bit more of that Diego Pavia national image of, look at this underdog who came from Division II that's lighting it up. But he kind of snuck up on people, right? Mm-hmm. He wasn't the starter at the beginning of the year. He took over and hasn't really looked back.
Yeah.
But he's a heck of a story. And, man, I mean, he had some highlight reel plays against Georgia, right? Can
yeah.
he do that again with Bane chasing him? Like, Bane is a guy that I think every Titans fan's going, hey,
he
I like that
good.
Guy. That
he
guy
may look good in two-tone blue.
How about this guy?
But he's got short arms.
Short arms.
Didn't they say that about, what was the Vikings defensive tackle? God, great. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Jared
now.
Allen?
No, not Jared Allen. He was before Jared Allen. I thought you may know, Willie. I have to pull it up.
Defensive tackle?
He was defensive tackle.
Interior guy.
Interior okay. guy for
not way back in the Purple People Leaders.
No, this is like in between, like, when Randall Cunningham was there. And
not John Randall.
Yeah, John Randall. John Randall. He's a Hall of Famer.
He had short arms?
Yeah.
Short arms.
Short arms. That's all I've heard about Ruben Bain. Short arms.
Those short arms are getting some things done.
Exactly. He's got a high motor, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Someone on our YouTube chat on our Predators conversation said, Adam Rowe, we know what your point is. You think sports is a Monopoly board game. I'm just I just take I do love Monopoly.
Do you like to get the car or the horse? What's your preferred?
I like to think that I'm humble. I keep things humble. I'm the thimble.
The thimble.
I'm the thimble. Okay. You know, the unassuming thimble.
The top hat.
Right. Yeah. Yes. The top hat, it's too showy. It's too flashy. Yeah.
The thimble. Okay.
The thimble is a
we
true.
We used to fight over the cowboy. With
yeah,
the
you wanted the yeah. cowboy. Everybody wanted the cowboy.
The thimble is a true rags to riches story, right? The thimble, when you are that hotel magnate and you've got the hotel on Broadway as the thimble, you've really made it. That is a true rags to riches story. Look, this is all I'm saying. I try to take the emotion out of it, as I said. It's been a lot more entertaining watching the Predators games since Thanksgiving than it was before Thanksgiving and basically all of last season. I'm enjoying it. I watch the games. I like watching the games. But I'm not as concerned about it as I might have been just because I think Trotz in our conversations has provided the answers that I would hope he would provide, which is I'm not really deviating from my plan.
But he shouldn't. Like, don't you think? Like, he has to say that. But I think he probably knows that the odds are what they are.
Yes.
It would be a surprise if they continue this path. But I think it's really intriguing to see if they can do it. This game in particular tonight, been on the road for so long. It's always a traditional game that everybody from the coaching staff on down is concerned of. Because I just know in my life, I got home and I had all these, you know, I hadn't been in my house a long time. Everybody's got the same stuff. When you've been gone for a while.
Hope the air conditioner still working.
Yeah, you got a list of things that you can't do when you're on the road that pile up. Like, oh, when I get home, I got to do this. And so all those guys have had that. So do they have the A game tonight that's going to take to beat an Islanders team that's got really good momentum? This is a big challenge tonight.
Brian on our text line says, I prefer the iron because I flatten my opponents.
Okay.
Monopoly.
Yes, the iron is
so
good.
So y'all don't
too.
Like the car. Nobody likes the car. I love the car.
You can't go wrong with the car.
Yeah,
no.
You can.
You can't.
I think that's usually my second choice to the horse, the guy in the horse.
You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with the car. And you're
and
right.
There's a little dog.
Yeah.
Yes, there is.
Is there any more that we're missing? I'm trying to.
The dog, the thimble,
like
the hat, the man on a horse, the car. Is there another one? That's five.
I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Unless some new monopolies come out, they added something.
They could have had anything, yeah.
Speaking of potential, we talked about Reuben Bain. Speaking of potential Titans draft targets, Arvel Reese, the star linebacker from Ohio State, declared for the NFL draft today, unsurprisingly.
Yes.
But he is the number four overall prospect, according to Mel Kiper. And who and which team has the number four overall pick?
The Titans. Listen, whoever they choose to get, it needs to be an impact player. I'm leaning more toward a wide receiver or either moving out of that spot and moving possibly down four spots and still being able to get, you know, two guys that you sort of zeroed in on, whether it be a wide receiver, defensive end, or a defensive end wide receiver. But both of them are at least at the top of my list.
Matt says, do you stretch before you start with your thimble? Is that a euphemism for something? I'm not really sure what that means. By the way, the Monopoly, I don't know. The Monopoly pieces, the top hat, the thimble, the iron, the boot.
Okay, I forgot about the boot.
The battleship.
Oh, yeah, the battleship. Yeah, goodness.
The wheelbarrow.
The wheelbarrow, yeah. Oh, man.
How do we forget the battleship, the wheelbarrow?
The wheelbarrow may be more of a rags to riches story than the thimble. What do you think?
It might be. You started with the wheelbarrow.
No, the boot is, man. The boot is served.
You got to lift yourself up from your bootstraps. Yes.
And then once you get up there, you can kick people around. Boot you out. Boot you out.
Now, here's the most important Monopoly question. How did you handle free parking? Did you put money in the middle? If you land on free parking, do you get
it? It depends on who was playing. I like putting money underneath.
You can tell a lot about a person
don't.
By
some
the free
don't.
Parking rule in their games of Monopoly. Where are you on this hot button issue, really,
Dominic? I'm okay with the money under there. I'm okay with
that. That'll do it for us today. Predators take on the Islanders. Puck drop at 7.
And real quick, Adam, get here. If you're hey, maybe I'll get there at the beginning. Maybe I won't. Get here tonight at the beginning. Steven Stamkos will be honored for a 600th goal.
Great.
It'll be really cool. So make sure you're here on time.
Another programming note. Game is a nationally televised game on ESPN+, Disney+, and Hulu. So no FanDuel Sports Network tonight, but then you can catch all of the coverage right here, starting with Max High Maintenance Hers in just a matter of moments right here on 102.5 The Game. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Be love, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Thursday. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that song. Don't you forget about us, because we will never forget about you. See you tomorrow, 3 p.m. on 102.5 The Game. Peace.